Good evening. Now that's a blessing. Thank you, Tate, for that good reading. Tonight we're going to talk about counting our blessings. We as the Lord's body have much to be thankful for. One of the works of the church is to edify the body. And what better way to do that than gather together on the Lord's Day as prescribed in the New Testament and build one another up in the most holy faith. We have opportunity to do that on the Lord's Day, and I hope that we have been edified today. Miss Anna called me today and she said, "Now I left you a message and I seen your topic tonight in the bulletin. How am I supposed to count all my blessings? I've got so many." That's true, is it not? It is very true that we all have many blessings. I want to take a different approach to Ephesians chapter 1. And the scripture that Tate read beautifully describes how we need to be toward our blessings. But we were sitting around the table today at home, and we've got all of our children here, and I said, let's list some blessings. Now, I think maybe now that I'm reading them, they may be trying to be a little silly. But first thing, you know, food. We're never hungry. Our health. Roof over our head. Transportation. That it's not an animal. Who wrote that? Our country, our freedom. Our family. Those are just some of the things that we think about. But you know, I was thinking, not everyone enjoys all those blessings specifically. Some have poor health. Some have problems financially. Maybe they don't have a roof over their head. Maybe they're struggling in some way. But you know what? As the Lord's body, we all have particular blessings, and then we look to share our blessings with those who are less fortunate than us. Maybe they don't have the same blessings we do. That's how the church works. So, that being said, we are obligated as the Lord's people to search out those individuals who don't enjoy the blessings that you and I might have and share those blessings. I think that's wonderful for us to have that opportunity. Ephesians chapter 1. You turn your Bibles there. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture for us. And we talk about the in Christ, those who are in Christ blessings. You know, you see that it's listed in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I'm not going to go through each one of those, but I'm going to hit some highlights of some of the things that you may not have thought about. First, let's set it up how to get in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. How do we get in Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, one leading or one direction or one teaching or one pattern. We all obeyed it. The Lord put us in His body." So by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Ephesians chapter 1. This may not be a typical observation of the in Christ blessings, but just bear with me just for a moment. Grace and peace from God. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to him according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation and the fullness of times he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, that kind of piggies off the lesson this morning, having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption, the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. So I want to highlight some of these promises that we see in Ephesians chapter 1. And as I was thinking of these things, I just wrote down some scripture that may be a cross-reference for you, maybe something that will help you remember some of these things. So grace and peace from our God, the God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. But grace, when I sing that word grace, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We also have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that we have a plan, a salvation plan that has been given to man. By grace, we have that to read about, to study about, and to obey. That's Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Peace. When I think of peace, I think of Ephesians chapter 2, when Jesus is man's peace brought about by his blood, making peace between the two covenants by reconciliation in one body, the church. Jesus is our peace, most certainly. I don't know if you ever noticed in when it says in verse number three, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In the heavenly places. Remember a couple of weeks ago we had the lesson, if we're church shopping, we want to be part of a church, what are we going to look for? We're going to look for where it was made. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven has come nigh to you. The kingdom of heaven. Heavenly places matches that perfectly. Paul is talking about the church. When someone is saved, what happens? Acts chapter 2, verse 47, he added the saved where? To the church. Colossians 1:13 translates us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we see the kingdom of heaven was preached throughout the Gospels and in the New Testament. Paul alludes that the heavenly institution bought by Christ's own blood, he identifies it as the church in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Notice where all the spiritual blessings are. They are in Christ and in his church. The Lord adds to his own body where all spiritual blessings reside. The answer to the question, do you have to be in the church to be saved or to have those spiritual blessings? We should get that from this particular verse. The answer is yes. He's the Savior of the body, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. In verse 4, we are chosen. We are chosen through the gospel. When the gospel is preached, we respond to it, God has chosen a people that would obey him from the beginning. We do that by choice. We have opportunity to obey the commands of the Lord. In verse 5, we are his family by adoption, and we are accepted. Think about those blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Being part of a family, we are adopted into the family, Galatians 3. We are all sons of God through what? Through faith. We have become sons of God. We were alienated from Christ, but we all have opportunity to be in one body, which he is the Savior of. This is a big one. Verse 7. When we do Bible studies, we always bring this out to the front of the study. You have to be in Christ to what? To have forgiveness of sins. That's a spiritual blessing that is only given to Christians, those who are in Christ Jesus. That has to be pointed out to people. And then they're going to ask the question of how we just started the lesson. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. When is an individual in Christ? When he becomes a Christian through obedience to the faith. Verse 8. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. I cross-referenced that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. If you look at verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We have everything we need. Is that a blessing? That when we obey the Lord, that he's going to keep his promises? That's a tremendous blessing that we all share as Christians. I love this in verse 10. That in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one, there's that one, all things in Christ. So in verse 10, he loves us so much that he gathered us together in one body. One body. Christ is the head of that body, and we can be assured of eternal life. As we talked about in class this morning, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. We can know. And he gathered us into one body by his Son, not many different bodies, but we are all part of his church, the Lord's church. That is truly a blessing. Verse number 13. In him you also trusted. And I want to put this in proper context. Hold your thumb there in Ephesians chapter 1 and turn over to Acts chapter 19. Now Paul is writing to those in Ephesus. But look at the account in Acts chapter 19. And it happened while Paulus was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that to the people that should come after him to believe on Jesus, that is Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Keep that in mind, Acts chapter 19. Now look at verse 13 again. In him, who's he writing to? You also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What did those Ephesians hear? the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What happened there in Ephesus to those disciples of John? What happened? There was a seal. They received what? The Holy Spirit, the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the Apostle Paul's hands. In him, all spiritual blessings dwell. Verse number 14. We are a purchased possession. How often do we purchase something we don't want? We don't ever go to any of the stores around here and just grab something off the shelf and just buy it just because. Hopefully we don't. Maybe we want that, right? We have a connection to what we are buying. We want it. We need it. Well, guess what? God wants us. God wants everyone. God wants every man to be saved. He wants all men to come to repentance. That should, in our mind, that should just be a wonderful blessing that we have, to have a God who wants us. He wants us enough to give his only son. He bought us back. There's so much more in the book of Ephesus that we can glean. We're not going to have time to go through every single blessing that you find in the book of Ephesians. But we need to be where the blessings are. We need, most certainly, to teach others where the blessings are. Remember in verse 7, forgiveness of sins. That is so important. Why is that important? We have to tell people how to get in Christ to have those spiritual blessings. Being energized today to go to our work, to our schools, wherever it is this week, think about all the blessings that we have, especially those that are in Christ, and have an attitude to want to share those blessings this week as you come in contact with other individuals. People need Christ. They need the gospel. If you are here this evening and you have not obeyed the gospel and want to study more about that one gospel, we would love to study with you. It would be no greater thing than to study with you and teach you more about God's plan of salvation. This Tuesday night, we have a study set up here for an individual that is really close to obeying the gospel. As a church family, I'll ask you to pray for that individual. Pray for that study. And then we'll have another study Wednesday night at 5 o'clock set up here. And I want you to pray for that study. We have a couple individuals that are really close to finding out what those spiritual blessings are all about. We need to be working together toward preaching and teaching the gospel. We have a good family here, a good family of the Lord. We need to work together and encourage one another to teach that wonderful message. Like we said this morning, you have something that's wonderful. You should want to share it. You should want to share that message. If you have any other needs tonight, if you are struggling in any way and you need the prayers of the church, we are here just for that reason, to edify, build one another up. And what better way to do that than to pray for one another? If you have any needs tonight, come together, come to the front as we stand and sing.